3, 2, 1. Happy what?
Monday.
Hey-o. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Tom.
So, I just was, before you came here, I was just looking at my podcast data, analytics, and I just passed 1,000 listeners.
Well, yoo-hoo! Congratulations. Yeah, that's really great. You're reaching out to so many people. It is a good thing.
It's really cool. And and because of you, you helped me because you were one of my very first listeners, my first professional listener. Oh, I mean, professional guest.
Thank you. I really had fun and I listened to most of your
And actually, you had now. A lot of research. You had a higher, you know, each person, you know, it varies on how many people listen and stuff. But you had a pretty popular response.
Oh, thank you.
So people really were digging Dr. Pinky.
I didn't bribe them, just so you know. I didn't bribe anyone to listen.
Well, any podcast I post, I always boost it on Facebook for $10. So I bribed them with $10.
All right, that's good.
I mean, you know, it'll reaches 800,000 people.
Yeah, but I should do it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not required, but I don't think we're going to change the world doing this podcast, but
I think we can in a little baby steps.
In our little world.
Yeah, our little world, and it gets bigger and bigger, and it's great. Good information I've seen and good learning.
So you were texting me. You were nervous. You were worried.
I was, because I was like, all these days went by and I didn't really pick any topic to talk about.
Well, the thing, the podcast is really just chatting. Social. Rehob is social.
I'm chatty. So
yeah. So, and if I can somehow find and pull out information that's helpful to others, that's good. Mm-hmm. But it's just chatting, you know, just shooting the breeze. You know, I think there's always topics. You know, I've never want to be like, because part of the problem is with the topic is I have to be smart enough to converse in the topic. And if we're, you know, something like with a doctor, I'm going to fall short.
No, you're one of the smartest and, you know, very, very talented. And you have things like, you know, a lot of other different fields, which is interesting, I think.
Well, you mean like the No Supper project?
Yeah, that was one of them.
I'm still doing it. I haven't... And you know what's funny when I talk to people about that? They can't believe that. They cannot believe the idea of only eating one meal a day. Mm-hmm. We've been so programmed, so over time through, you know, living and the social aspects of eating and, you know, the bored. You know, I found out I ate a lot of food because I was bored, you know, and I did it for 12 weeks. I started to kind of, you know, introduce a few things back into my life because the reason I did it, because I'm trying to get back to it a little bit, it's just understanding why I eat, just kind of getting a reset in eating and understanding what food does for me. But it's hard to, you know, with all the food and the commercials and just so much food at our fingertips, it's hard to not enjoy it all.
Yeah, well, I like what you said about the history too, when in the primitive lifestyle we had to hunt for what we got, and it wasn't like every few hours we had to eat. We can go on days without.
I definitely think that life, the evolution of us socially has grown a lot faster than the evolution of our body being able to handle food.
Yeah, and there's so many other aspects attached to food habits that, you know, that's beyond just hunger.
Right. Well, but we're not going to make this a food podcast because we've already talked about this stuff. How was your weekend? Was it full of events?
Wow, it was great. We went to first strawberry picking in a farm, and then we realized the season was over, so we went to go for blueberries.
Strawberry season's over?
Yeah, that's what they said. There's none to pick.
Oh.
Well, I was a little late, but then went on to do blueberry picking.
And, I love blueberries.
My son had a great time. And
how much? What did you pick? Like little? What is it? A bushel? Is that a bushel?
Yeah,
the little basket?
Yeah, it's a little basket, but it was like maybe, I don't know how much we had in total. Maybe not even half of it, but it was just fun.
When I first came to visit Delaware, when I was a little kid, my grandmother and my grandparents, I should say, lived over in Selbyville. And I remember as a child going to pick blueberries.
Yeah, that's where we went to in Selbyville.
Yeah, Selbyville.
Yeah, and they have a tractor that carries you through the farm. It was exciting.
I love blueberries.
Yeah, me too.
They're healthy, right?
They are very healthy. They have rich antioxidants. Yep.
Nice. What is an antioxidant? Are we oxidizing?
Well, antioxidants, like you said, are superfoods. So they help in the aging of cells. So they delay the progression because a lot of things that, you know, that when we burn, it's like the oxidation process when we talk about cellular aging. But again, we're going back to nutrition. So
well, we're going to talk about nutrition because you are a doctor. So we're going to pick your brain because honestly, I mean, that's, you know, I think that that's the problem. And I've reached out to a few people to do podcasts more in a, you know, a profession, you know, because I want to talk about that profession. But I think people are worried that if they come on the podcast, they're going to be like, you know, questioned, you know, like, are you really, you know, what's the deal with oxidation? And then you're supposed to answer it. And not everyone wants to be put on the spot. And it's not like that. You know how the podcast is. So I've reached out to...
I like the casual feel and how we do it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, food. And like I said, I was doing the Just Supper and I started introducing some stuff in the morning. But like an addict, you know, I started introducing scrambled eggs in the morning. And the next thing you know, I'm eating tortilla chips at lunch. And then I'm falling back into that same... thing again,
pattern.
Like I'm just eating out of habit and just boredom and something to do, but I'm trying to eat healthier stuff out of boredom.
Right. Well, you know, that's interesting. So I was looking, although I'm board certified in internal medicine, that is allopathic medicine. It's all about chemicals and pharmaceutical stuff. But my background is also in Ayurveda because I have a family lineage of Ayurvedic practitioners and I learned a lot as I was growing up. And it's interesting you said that. So why are certain people inclined to be in a certain way, like the body types or the kind of food you eat or if you have anxiety, some people are more prone versus the others, even if you're put into the same environment or in the same variables, but you still turn out different. So as you know, Ayurveda is... maybe 5,000 years back that we
what
started.
Is it?
It's called Ayurveda.
Ayurveda.
Correct.
Okay.
So it is one of the ancient form of healing or ancient medicine.
Nice.
And it is rooted in the Indian subcontinent. And it's about 5,000 years old. So this was back when we didn't have any drugs or pills or anything and how people use herbs and natural things to heal and treat as well. So they were so the main concept of Ayurvedic medicine, and which I'm not certified or licensed, but I have enough. Like I said, this is a disclosure I'm giving, whether it means anything or not. But
well, the Ayurveda people are going to come out of the woodwork.
They're like, oh, you can steal our, you know, show too. But yeah, anyway, so they talk about three different things, and they're like core elements, and the core elements are. Vata, V-A-T-A.
Vata.
And Pitta, P-A-I-T-T-A.
Pitta.
And Kapha, K-A-P-H-A. And what did...
Kapha.
Yeah.
You like that?
You got it. I think I kind of want to do a rap now, but... Okay.
Pitta, Kapha. Pitta. It's a pretty good word. They all rhyme, so it's a start.
It does. So basically, with these are called doshas, which are like core elements. And we are supposed to be made up of these elements and some in more portion than the others. And that defines our personality, our body types.
Wow.
The way we think. This was ages back when we didn't have any scientific modes to. They're supposed to be passed on from like the gods to the saints, and it was all in the Vedic scriptures that nobody researched on, so it kind of fell into oblivion. But it makes so much sense. So I had to brush up, and I went through these three core elements, and they make so much sense because you know the Vita is about the air.
Right.
And there was the air and the space, they said. So it's more of a person who is like the flowing kind, you know, who was on the go, was mm-hmm. very hyper, and that defines that he has more of that element in him.
Okay.
And the Pitta is a fire and water, which is mainly essence of, you know, like the energy and the being grounded. And, you know, these people say, tend to be more on the stable side, you know, not many ups and downs, and medium average weight and all that. And then, of course, there's Kapha, which is, again, consists of two different elements too. I think it says, and I could be wrong because it's been a while since I read these things up, but then again, the Kapha is of the earth element. It has there was one other element which I can't remember now. But basically what it means is that you need to be in the stable state, which is all these elements needs to be in the certain proportion. So if they are not where they are supposed to be, then you're prone for anxiety versus depression. It's all about the balance. So,
oh, yeah.
And they go into depth, which I don't have adequate knowledge of, but it's interesting why some people, like you said, once needs to eat every few hours versus some can go on without. Because if you're the Pitta type, and there are online quizzes you can take to see what type you are, and I'm assuming you may be Pitta because you are like, you're grounded, so you can be stable and you don't have the need to either constantly go or, you know, do the reverse and sit and slack.
Well, I think the problem, I mean, there are, I've met people that are super lean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they need to eat. I mean, the fact mm-hmm. is food is fuel.
Correct.
I think if you're trying to lose some fat,
yeah,
I think you have to readjust how you carry on. I mean, you can't eat like you're lean.
Mm-hmm.
If you're carrying extra weight, mm-hmm. you know, I think that it has to be addressed. But once you get to a place where you're happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I talked about this last week, and it seems kind of the theme for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, trying to redefine my happiness, you know, I create a picture
mm-hmm.
of what I think would be happiness, you know, and it usually consists of like money, skinny. I don't even know why I'm not obsessed with being skinny, but I'm not sure why being skinny is my goal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if this was 500 years ago, you probably would not want to be skinny. You would probably want some weight on you because, you know, in times that are tough, you're going to be the first one that needs to take a nap if you're super skinny.
Correct.
So I just, you know, trying to understand why, for me at least, why I'm always chasing this happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having to stop and take a step back and say, oh, I am happy. I'm happy. You know, why am I always trying to find something that's going to make me, in my eyes, that place where I'm really going to be happy?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I need to just take a moment and just, you know, an attitude or a gratitude list. I'm sure you've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That's always I don't feel like making a gratitude list. But, you know,
that's the first thing.
Yeah, there's something to that, you mm-hmm. know, to realize, you know, how blessed I am to just be alive, you know?
Yeah.
And for the most part, doing pretty good, you know?
A friend of mine just was talking about that in Sanskrit, which is the ancient, you know, language, where it talks about 10 things where it tells you to be how to be a human. And she was just she and I were just talking over phone, and she said, one of the things is just be here at the moment. And now I think people are rewiring to that state, to just be here, be happy, be thankful, you know. And one of the 10 things was that struck me was there are no mistakes,
right?
And there's only lessons to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did this, I did that. No, because there was a lesson. Now, if you keep repeating the mistakes, that means you never learned your lessons, and life's going to keep throwing those at you.
Until first time it's a lesson. The second time you do it, it's actually a mistake. That was a mistake.
That was a mistake of not getting the lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Well, and I think it also changes as we get older.
Mm-hmm,
sure. You know, for me, and I can only speak for me up to 50 years, you know, early it was about other things, and then, you know, 20s and 30s was about other things. And then mm-hmm. you start hitting 50 and you're like, whoa, this is starting to be like, you know, we're headed to the other end. You know, there's a completion here. And then, you know, for me, I just want to try to, you know, be around in the best form of me as I can for my kids and my wife and stuff. And for me, you know,
sure.
If I'm, you know, if I'm not doing well, I'm going to be upset about it. I'm sure I'll be pissed.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, at different stages of life, we want different things. But it is true that you, with life lessons, you become more wise. And
and I think you also mentioned it, you know, these things that you're talking about are from such a long time ago
mm-hmm.
that it's hard, you know, it's hard for a person in 2019 to get their head around something other than like it isn't being told to you by a doctor or it isn't fixing you as in a pill.
Right.
You know, I always say that there's a balance between self-centered fear mm-hmm. and humility.
True.
I've said it before. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. And that's a sickness, you know, but that there, they'll try to give you a pill to fix that anxiety medicine.
Yeah.
But the fact is if I'm the first thing and the only thing I think of throughout the day, I'm going to be disappointed and sad.
Yeah.
It just doesn't always work out.
Yeah, it's tough. So since I started my holistic practice with the girls at Lanika, the most challenging thing was trying to make people understand that, you know, pills are just not the answer, that there are so many other things to hold the person as a whole healing kind of process. And they're like, oh, aren't you licensed in internal medicine? Aren't you supposed to give me medications? Why are we even talking about lifestyle changes? And it's tough. It's very tough to make, you know.
Do you ever just say, I don't think I can help you?
Yeah, many times. And sometimes people don't like me for that. And I said, well, that if it is against my principle, the ethics of it, I'm going to say no, and I'm sorry. I know I lose clients, but I have to stick to my...
Well, that's the thing. People want to hear what they want to hear, and when they don't mm-hmm. hear it, they get upset. And that happens even with me.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I try to, you know, learn and try to adjust how I think and
do the right thing.
To do the right thing. I still... Things don't go my way.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've even said on this podcast before that I had talked to a doctor and asked him, you know, out of all your patients, how many people just aren't getting what they want? And he said 80%.
Yeah.
80% of people just aren't getting, and that's, you know, don't quote me on that, but that it was a big portion.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't just, you know, they're just not getting what they want, so they want to have a medication.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're offering medication on top of a medication, you know, and I don't know enough, I don't take any medication, so, but I've heard that there's, you know, and anti-anxiety medicine that you take along with another anti-anxiety mm-hmm. medicine. It's like...
Especially, I'm telling you, like anxiety, depression, they're overdiagnosed and no one's really sitting down and going to the root cause. And it may be something really, you know, deep, and you need to find that out and offer other modes of treatment. And people are like, why? This is not working. I want different one. I want another one or something. And they sometimes even know what they exactly are. Well, I want to be started on Wellbutrin because that's the commercial I got in there. Or I want to be started on... I mean, nothing against the pharmaceuticals. They have to sell their products. But it's just the wrong messages out there.
Well, my wife has, not eczema, but something that just affects her. It's an autoimmune disease, and it affects her scalp. And she gets
flaky. Seborrheic type of dermatitis? Or?
Yeah, I forget what it's called. I'll remember in a couple minutes after I talk about it. But, you know, you see all these commercials on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, these injections in the stomach. And there was a time when I used to have to give her these injections into her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
For psoriasis
is what she has.
And, you know, it's not that bad, but it bothers her. She's embarrassed and all that stuff. And, you know, but at night, you know, we get bombarded by all these psoriasis commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, why don't we try... Another doctor friend of mine said, why don't you try, you know, I don't think that she has celiac, but I think... You know, maybe she has a gluten intolerance. So
mm-hmm.
we're trying for this. This is the end of the first week of trying to be wheat free
to
see
great.
If we can find another fix for the problem other than these medicines that they just have you injecting into your body. It's
yeah, those biologic, they said, modulators, which are the injections you're talking about. And those have a lot of side effects. You know, they can be really... Not that it doesn't help, but it's so toxic to the body at the same time.
Yeah.
And for psoriasis, you do have triggers, you know, that's when they get flare-ups sometimes. And even trying to learn the nutrition is a big part of any of the autoimmune diseases, and we don't focus so much on that. But like you said, like gluten sensitive people, or you know, celiac disease, and all those are, there are so many other dimensions to that medicine other than just the pharmacologic part.
Well, my ex-father-in-law, he has celiac, and he, I mean, he's had it, I think, ever since he was, you know, a kid, and has suffered with those, the results of eating wheat with that, mm-hmm. with that disorder. And he thought he was dying. He thought he had cancer. I mean, the reason he figured out what the solution to his problem would be was when the internet really kind of started, because he was sure. able to go on the internet and search it and find other people. And he diagnosed himself with celiac mm-hmm. and stopped eating wheat, and it saved his life. I mean, he literally is the kind of guy that, you know, if he gets one little bit of gluten, he's done for the day. It's
oh, wow.
it's bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I have some experience with a person that has celiac and how serious it is, because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm wheat free. But, you know, the chewing gum, you know, the dust on chewing mm-hmm. gum is a wheat based product.
There's a lot out there.
Yeah, there's wheat and everything. I mean, mm-hmm. Bill, he had to carry around a card, you know, and there was only a few restaurants in town that would really take it seriously. And it's become much more serious in the last 10 years. But at the yeah. time, it was like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But like, he would go, I think we used to go to Cracker Barrel, and they would cook his food separately in tinfoil. Off of, you know, because you can't even cook something on a grill that's had something with wheat on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and that can be bad triggers for anything.
Yeah, the contamination. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing it for a week, and, you know, my wife, she loves ice cream from Baskin-Robbins, but the, you know, the Oreo, the one with the crushed up Oreos in yeah. it. And I'm like,
do they have them too?
Yeah,
it's hard. But you have to look at the labels every time.
I guess. There's wheat in Oreos.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cookie. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
I'm like, sorry. She's like, oh, my God. So last night we went and I got her some ice cream with snickerdoodle, snicker in it or something. But, you know, even Baskin-Robbins are like, this is gluten conscience,
mm-hmm.
gluten conscience or whatever the word was. But, and I asked the lady, I go, is this gluten-free too? She goes, I don't think any of them are gluten-free. And I go, well, they say it all on the labels here. And she goes, oh, really? I never even noticed.
Oh, my goodness.
So definitely you're not going to find somebody yeah. else that's looking out for you.
Yeah,
you have to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still, you know, still having some problems. But we'll keep going with it. It's the second week. We'll just keep trying. And
sure, it's just a good start, though. And I think for that's the whole purpose of holistic medicine too. Like, if you need medicines, then you take it, but just keep it to the minimum and figure out other ways. Maybe you don't even need it. Figure out whether you really need the medicine or not.
Well, and that's, I mean, I've always. Anytime I start feeling any kind of cold, I used to go over to the doctor's office, demand a prescription for an antibiotic. And yeah. they're like, it's a cold. It's not going to die. Give it to me. You know, just getting it made me feel better. And I would take it. And, you know, now they're, you know, we're in trouble when it comes to antibiotics.
Luckily, now the tables are turned and people are more conscious about, we have something called antibiotic stewardness. So we're really very cautious about not trying. Because then now we have to deal with other part of it, where with people are getting C. diff, it's an infection of
yeah,
the gut.
My and, mom had it.
Yeah, and all these things from antibiotic use, and now we don't want to. So medicine keeps constantly changing. Things that are good at one point is not good anymore because they see the side effects. But the holistic medicine is very good because it's about prevention.
Can we talk about that word, holistic?
Yeah, so holistic means the whole person, you know. So what in traditional medicine, what happens is we focus on the disease and the symptoms and treat them accordingly. The holistic is kind of trying to figure out and taking the person as a whole, like body, mind, spirit, you know, emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual happiness and well-being. That's the whole
instead of like a, you know, a bone guy or a respiratory guy or correct. A brain guy. So, okay, so correct. It's everything.
It's everything. So it's not like for traditional medicine, let's say I have somebody with diabetes. I would say, okay, you're diagnosed with diabetes. You know, your A1C, which is a blood marker for it's bad or good or whatever, and we need this. End of story. That's what I did. And now in holistic, we're like, okay, you have diabetes. let's figure out, you know, what caused this in your case, specific to you, not just diabetes in general. It could have been the food habits. It can be a familial, you know, tendency. And then what else we can do. And then, you know, with diabetes, depression comes hand in hand. We don't address those so much in traditional medicine.
But is it here, depression because they're breaking up with food?
There are a lot of components to him. One is that, you know, it's life-changing. They had to change things that, like you said, they did in the past. They can't do it now. They're constantly with needles or medications or, you know, always having to watch. Whereas beforehand they didn't. They would eat anything. Then they had portion control. It's a whole different lifestyle change, which people, you know, we are tough with changes. You know, we get used to.
I've said it before, I struggle with sugar, but I struggle with sugar at 9 o'clock and after. Like you can stick a donut in front of me, in front of my face all day, and I'd be like, no thanks. Mm-hmm. But come 9 o'clock, I'm like, oh man.
Something triggers it. So then we would sit down and just go back to you, like starting childhood. Like, what was it? What was the first time you wanted to have that? And why that particular time? Was it because you didn't have enough carbs in the day? You know, that the body is suddenly craving for it. You know, we do need a little bit of everything, believe it or not. It's just, it's not just too much is, of course, bad, and moderation is the key. But that's what Ayurvedic medicine focuses on. You can be a totally different type, and you may not need any carb at all, or, you know. So those things were already done in 5,000 years back. So 5,000 years back, they figured out what kind of elements you have in your physical, and then there were a list of food that is for that certain body type or that certain personality,
right?
Which kind of got lost, and now we don't know. We don't have any scientific tools to
And kind of back to your point as well is that, you know, we've not everybody has like any faith. You know, like if you said, oh, you know, we can try it through food or, you know, spiritual stuff. People mm-hmm. be like, oh, my God, really?
Yeah. Because we all want quick fixes. We're fast-pacing. This is fortunate and unfortunate times when we're so advanced in technology. But look at our health. Look at our anxiety, stress. I mean, we're the worst.
Yeah.
We are the most technologically advanced generation. But yet we are disconnected. There's a big disconnect. So,
well, and I think everybody just... Everybody wants, you know, they want to be just as good as the next person or mm-hmm. better or, and we just keep wanting and wanting. And then when we finally get to the top of the mountain of all the wants, then we're just unhappy, but with a lot of stuff.
And then, I'm at the pinnacle and, I'm not even happy.
Yeah, I'm actually unhappy.
Unhappy.
With all the stuff.
Yeah. Well, because there's no more goals to achieve or, you know.
Well, and I don't think there's a fix for it, quite honestly, because, you know, you can't explain it. Mm-hmm. It's almost something you have to just go through and suffer and realize. And I think that's kind of what I've, you know, gone through. You know, I had to get sober and use a program that, you know, really put a spotlight on some of those things. You know, the balance mm-hmm. between self and, you know, there's a part in there where it talks about, you know, I hate Mr. Jones. And you're like, or some people be like, I hate him. Yeah. That's it. I hate him.
Yeah.
You're like, why? I just hate him. But where if you look into like a program that, you know, where you've gotten to a point where you need to take a look at this stuff or address mm-hmm. this stuff, this hate or, you know, fear.
Negative emotions.
Yeah, and you look and you're like, well, if we're going to be honest, his house is bigger than mine.
Yeah.
And his car is better than mine.
Yeah.
And his wife or whatever
yeah.
is better than mine. And you're like, okay, well, that's fine. But let's understand why you hate.
Mm-hmm. Because the driving force is different nowadays, and that's a shame, really. Because we shouldn't be competing with each other. It's just complementing and just, you know, kind of walking hand in hand and helping each other out. I think that was lost somewhere.
Well, and that's kind of been a topic lately, too, is cooperation over competition. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that. I was talking to someone on the podcast who was, you know, has a small business and another small business just like hers that opened up. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I've had that, you know, I open a hair salon mm-hmm. and then I hear, oh, someone else is opening a hair salon. And right away I'm like, oh,
next
God.
To you.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, no. So you get all full of fear. But yeah. I said, you know, maybe you want to just send them a fruit basket.
Yeah.
Say, welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
If there's anything I can do, feel free. Here's my number. Call me.
Yeah.
Start off that way instead of, you know, negatively. Because that should just eat at your foundation.
I know. And I can totally relate to that. So when I started my holistic endeavors and I was expecting to get help from the community, you know, people who've been here, done this. And I was so excited to get, you know, tips on, and I figured out I had nothing. I mean, and I was talking to it and I'm like, what happened? You know, I was so, and she said, well, you could be competition. You know, I said, well, you know, it shouldn't be that way. I bet there will be a lot of overflows or people you're not able to take care of that you would want somebody else in the community to, you know, just.
Oh, this was from other doctors. So you had reached out to other doctors letting them know or thinking about what you were going
to
do.
Yeah, not to, you know, go into details. But yeah, because I was so excited. I was trying to meet up
names.
People.
Give me names.
Yeah, I was like, oh, when can I see you? When can I do this? When can I, you know, can I come on this? And I'm like, oh, then later on I figured, okay, it's not happening.
I'm just kidding about names. Well, that happened to me as well. You know, when I decided to open a hair salon, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I need 10 chairs. I got all my friends I work with. Mm-hmm. They're all going to want to come work with me because I'm just awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, I open the door. I walk out, open the salon up, put on the open sign. I'm like, all right, you guys coming to work here? And they're like, we're going to stay here. I'm like, oh. And I sat in here and worked in this big salon by myself.
Yeah.
Every day.
Totally.
Full of fear.
True. Now I'm going through that phase now. I'm like, am I doing the right thing? I mean, you know, at one point you also want to be a thriving business. You want to also have a good practice. And, you know, and then we're so afraid of failures, you know, and especially something you believe in and you think it'll take off. And because this is how you see it and other people will see it. But sometimes it takes time or it may not happen at all.
I think some people I feel like I'm the kind of person that likes to start stuff. You know, I like the idea. I like the daydream. I like to, you know, imagine what it'll be one day and then start it and then suffer.
Because
it doesn't happen. And then I keep working at it and I work at it. But, you know, I remember a restaurant that's close to my house. You know, I remember when they opened and it was a big deal and, you know, they were, you know, making stickers and new menus and reaching out. And now, 5 years later, I went and got food from there last night and they're in there just grinding it out on another day, working it away. And I'm like, I mean, I get it, but, you know, I don't, the day-to-day grind, of once you reach that success, that gets boring for me.
Yeah, true. That's daydream. What was the song? Was John Lennon or You May Say I'm a Dreamer?
Yeah, it's John.
Yeah, it's just playing in my head now because you mentioned this.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly, John Lennon.
Yeah.
I love John Lennon.
Yeah, so that's what I'm kind of feeling, but I feel this is my passion. You know, I got to do this regardless. Even if I have to take a second job, I'm fine, but this is my main
thing. So what's going on is you were working like a regular doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, I've had it.
Yeah. I was done with the insurance. Fighting for insurance, billing. I was done working for, I shouldn't probably say it, but it just didn't go with what I believed in, you know, like we were.
I doubt you're the only doctor that feels that same way.
Like the expectation of seeing X many people, X numbers, meeting numbers, and I was like, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
So what are you doing?
So now I have this holistic.
This is the beginning. Let's start right now. This is the beginning of your new career.
New career, my new journey, and I hope it'll stay steady. Maybe
are you
going to
be?
Road,
are you going to do like the a la carte kind of doctor, or not a la carte, but where you kind of like if you become someone's doctor and you just with them like do you do house calls?
Correct. So
yeah,
I'm
okay.
Going into concierge/holistic. So our goal is to have a holistic plan, and what concierge means is just like you said, I'm the personal doctor, let's say for you. So I'm on call 24/7 for you. I'm dedicated to your well-being. And so it's like you can have access to my emails or my phone call. If you have any questions, you know, medications, blood work, everything else I do as well. But you have unlimited visits towards me by paying a monthly fee or an annual fee, however you want to set it up, the fee structure, and basically offers you my services and access at all times. And for some old people, it's even better. Sometimes they don't want to get out of the house or have problem transportation. Then I would make the house calls, go in to their houses and take care of. And it's nice that I get a window of what their life looks like other than.
Can you talk about pricing, or is that like something you would want to talk to someone personally?
No,
or
do
you
absolutely. I don't really mind. So, you know, initially.
Because I might be open to try something. You know, I just had my yearly physical with my doctor, but I hadn't seen him. I don't go to the doctor.
Yeah. So I have a lot of patients who have physicians in like Washington, D.C. And they just keep me concierge here. And they maybe go once or twice a year to see whoever specialist they have to see. But it's usually we started off with there are different free structure. Mm-hmm. Basically, you can do a 3-monthly or you can do a monthly. So we're starting out really like around 125 initial visits. If you're just going to see me for once, it's 225. And then if it is just a regular thing, let's say I have to only see you once a year. So that's it. That's all you pay. And then if you have medicines you need called in, whatever, I take care of everything for that.
So, but you still accept insurance or no insurance?
At this time, no insurance. But down the road, I might have to work with some insurances because, you know, it's tough for people to not utilize their insurance and do private pays.
What about medication?
Yeah.
Medication, I mean, it's hard. Is it? Medication is expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not a lot. I mean, it depends on what you're using. Usually, I would do e-scripts where I would call into the e-script company and they wheel out a deal for you and then they deliver the medications right to your doorstep. And I just have to call it in. And most people are like on thyroid medicine that they need blood work for 3 months or 3 months, you know, supply, whatever it is. E-scripts is something I like and I don't get any kickbacks or nothing, but that's something I like, the mailing system. Mm-hmm. However, I can call in prescription to CVS, Walgreens, everything, because and then they can run your insurance too for the medication purposes.
Oh, so you would still have your insurance?
Yeah, you can have your insurance. Or if you want to pay out of pocket too, Walmart has a $4 pharmacy list. So, and most of the important ones are covered there. So okay. If you want to use that for people who don't want to spend a lot on medications. But yeah, and then down the road, maybe I might do a combination where, you know, we'll figure. I work with each in a different way. But right now, I would like to stay away from the insurance companies as much as possible just because of the billing issues and all that. But
well, I mean, and nowadays, these, you know, all the respect to doctors because they got a big job. They got a tough job. But, you know, they have to see so many people now.
Yeah.
You know, like I always get my yearly appointment, like as early as his first appointment.
Right.
Whenever. I don't
sure.
care what day.
Yeah.
Just give me the first one. Because, you know, it becomes, you know, they can get a little weighted down throughout the day. So.
And that is so true. They have done studies where, you know, if you get seen first thing in the morning versus towards the end of the day, there may be, because we're all human beings, there may be a, you know, slight change in the quality of, you know, because they have to see like 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
But for me, I sit down with the patient. My first visit is usually an hour. And I'm so proud that if I can even make a change in the lifestyle of one person, you know, I will feel that I have achieved something.
What's the biggest, I mean, I don't know, this might be too big or broad of a question, but what's the biggest problem most people are suffering with?
Well, I think just a challenge to do away from the insurance, you know, because they're so used to going to the doctors in the traditional way. But if you look at it, it is cost effective because you have to pay deductibles, then you have to pay co-pays. You are anyway spending the money. You just don't realize it because that's the norm. But where, you know, people are willing to pay, like, let's say the massage therapist or the psychologist out of you know, pocket. Yeah, and things like or the chiropractor or the acupuncture, those are mostly private pays. But since this is this culture for traditional medicine has been through insurance, so that is the biggest challenge is people think getting the way out. But I have talked to people mostly in California. There are a lot of holistic practices that just accepts private pay.
Well, no, but I mean, what's the biggest problem people are facing in their health today?
Well, I would say a lot. I mean, a lot of it is, as you know, is the lifestyle and
right.
the food and sedentary habits. That's the main thing. And then I think also a lot of anxiety and depression has been on the rise. A lot of teenage suicides on the rise. So we're not doing well on the mental health because I don't know if it is lack of education, funding, support. That's a huge toll. And then we have the opioid crisis of people being on medication. And then, as you know, a lot of deaths from it. So those are huge problems, you know, and not to mention the metabolic diseases we have.
Well, are some people, I don't know, want to say too far gone, but it's almost like terrorism. Like, you know, you almost, you know, it's hard to, if someone's just, you know, dead set on being a terrorist, it's hard to talk them out of it. But like the future, the young kids, you know, I know with my kids, we try, you know, I try to, you know, I make breakfast for them every morning. I cook eggs. I make toast. I try to.
Oh, that's good. You're a good dad. Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I love cooking for them. And I, you know, I always tell them, you know, this is a vehicle. We're a spiritual being having a human experience.
Mm-hmm. True.
That involves your vehicle, your body.
Yeah.
I try to share, you know, my thoughts with them. I'm not an expert, but, you know, it's just a simple thing. It's just, let's try just eating normal food.
Right.
But, man, they love those snacks mm-hmm. and the junk. And it is, you know, I'm like, last night we had a big dinner, and I'm like, you know, I'm begging Sam, please, eat another little piece of meat. The fat, it's this whole thing. But then afterwards, can we have some cookies? Can we have ice cream? I'm like, why didn't you eat more dinner? I don't know. It's just, and it, I have a 13-year-old, and he was the same way, but he's grown out of it.
Good.
He's more, he likes to, you know, he doesn't want to eat donuts now. He wants to make sure he's taking care of himself. He wants to be healthy. I'm hoping it's a phase.
Yeah, that sometimes can be a phase.
What is it that, the kappa, what was it? Which one is
kappa.
It, which
kappa.
One is involved with sugar? Because I think he got the kappa. He definitely got the coca.
Yeah,
and the so Sprite.
Kapha is more about storing, and the so the fata is more about like spending energy, like people want to run and on the go. So he might be kapha, where you're like trying to store in, so you're eating and just, you know, want to eat more. The main dosha, which out of the three is the pitta, where it's the balance between the fire, which resembles the energy, and the water, just kind of sustaining, you know, your human form.
Well, he's high and whatever because he loves that sugar. And after 9, I'm right there with him. You know, the other day I bought him these cookies in the middle of the day, and I was kind of staring at him sideways about it. And then 9 o'clock, he went to bed, and I ate his cookies.
That's like, a role model, right?
He goes,
there.
"Daddy, you ate my cookies." I'll buy you more. Zip it.
Well, at least good that you ate instead of him.
No, it's bad.
He'll be up all night.
Well, and the other thing I want to talk about. And I actually reached out to a person from a gym to see if he can come on, and he kind of ghosted me a little bit, so I don't know what's up with that. But, you know, how do you handle, like, an 8-year-old who wants to go to the gym? You know, my kids, especially Sam, he's just obsessed with going to the gym, and he wants to work out. But, you know, you can't give him weights. You can't have him bench pressing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to I've had to try to be creative in ways that he can be involved and work out, but not, you know, hurt him.
Right,
for the most part.
Yeah, because they're also going through the growth phase. And,
right.
you know, too much weight can really affect the joints from, you know, the growing more, you know, getting taller, let's say, or even for muscle building. I think the best exercise for kids and I would recommend it just running or, you know, walking is the best way because that's not putting too much pressure on your, you know, the little physical.
Well, we do squats without weight. Mm-hmm. We just cross our arms and do squats.
Yeah.
We do squats on a Bosu ball, I think it's called, but it's like a half rubber ball with a flat part on the backside so you can. We stand on that and do squats, but you have to really keep your balance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we do that. We, over at Rise, they have this area that has just kind of more back to basics kind of stuff where there's a rope you pull that kind of works through a pulley mm-hmm. that, you know, but if you do it 40 times, everything's burning. You
yeah,
know?
That's true.
We do that. We do push-ups.
Oh, that's great. That,
yeah, so we found a good workout, and the biggest surprise was how much how good I'm feeling doing this workout, where I would have gone in, you know, let's put some plates on the bar mm-hmm. and do some bench pressing, and then, you know, 3 weeks of that, and then my shoulder hurts, and then I'm out. It's been kind of fun getting back to basics with him mm-hmm. and feeling some great results.
Yeah, back to basics. So that's very – and I have seen a lot of – because I treat people 18 and above, and I also see a lot of geriatric population. This is only my observation, but I've seen that people who are really athletic and did a lot of weights, and now when they see me, which is like maybe 30 years later or 40 years later – I've seen they have a lot of issues with joints,
yep.
you know, joint pain, inflammation, erosion, and really hitting them hard at this age. And they used to say, oh, we used to be so active, and I never thought this would, you know, I would end up this way.
Well, why is that? Because, I mean, our body's designed to do stuff. It's designed right. to run. I mean, you know, right. go back at some point, we used to have to chase, hunt down things and run and chase it and shoot an arrow or spear it.
Yeah.
But, you know, now, you know, as a, you know, if we do too much exercise as a kid, all of a sudden we've worn out all our joints by 35.
I think it's also because excessive maybe wear and tear, excessive wear and tear. And then the food is the biggest thing. Back in the day, like, we only ate what we could hunt and, you know, gone on days without. But now I don't know if... or maybe people who are active at a certain age after 10, 20 years and they start working and in the office, and it's just like two extremes of going from one point to the other.
Well, and I was watching a podcast the other day and they were talking about how intermittent fasting mm-hmm. Helps create stem cells, which help create healing in the body.
Yeah. That IF, what they call it, is getting very popular nowadays. And also, it makes sense with the insulin, too. Insulin production, because, you know, insulin is as a hormone, as you know, which acts against when you have sugar in the body to kind of help you out to provide energy, which is sort of messed up in diabetics, you know. So with IF, what happens is that with diabetes, the main pathology is, like, over time, the cells become resistant, so they're not either producing enough or what they're producing is not active to the cells. What IF does is it gives you this prolonged, you know, they call it what, compressed feedings.
Mm-hmm.
So they're prolonged periods of starvation where then the insulin is back to normal or even lower levels, so that when you eat, they actually can work, because they get rest, sort of in a way, like they recuperate, and you're not feeding the body, not much action going in, so you get your rest phase. So I'd like to think of it like as we go to bed every day, then that's how you can get up and be more energetic. So you need long periods of time. That's the main philosophy about
it. Well, and I think that I think the body is designed for two things: taking in fuel or holding fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you got to spend it too.
But right, you got to spend it. And the you know, and from what I understand, and I only understand from just listening to other people with opinions, so I don't know who the hell is right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have heard, which seems to make sense to me, is that, you know, our body is designed to, you know, if we're eating, where a glucose is made from eating,
right.
We use that as like a quick energy.
Yeah.
But if we don't have that, that there's a switch that allows us to go to the fat that we've stored on our body
mm-hmm.
and that what's happened with us being allowed or having so much food at our fingertips is that it's forgot how to switch over.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It says, you're not eating, so we're going to send a bunch of like thoughts and depression and feelings and,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
say, oh, you should eat. You know,
eat again.
Your blood sugar's low, you know.
Yeah.
It's, and so what do? We eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there, so it's available.
Yeah.
And we're not allowing our body to do that switchover, which, and I'm sure there's all these great terms for what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but,
no, you're right.
But to find the fat and feed off of it, we've lost the ability, or we've forgotten. And what I've found with my IF, you want to call it, I call it getting back to basics.
Yeah, yeah, that's
reality.
True. Yeah,
that, you know, my body is starting to remember how to do that again. Mm-hmm. I have not, I don't know how much weight I've lost doing it, but I can tell I've lost weight. And I can tell.
You feel good too. That's the most important thing.
Well, and when I'm doing it, when I'm doing just supper program, I'm not hungry. Mm-hmm. And I drink water and I'm good. And I only really get hungry when I start cooking dinner at 7 o'clock. My body's like, it's like a cat. It's all going around my ankles, you know, it's going crazy. But when I start like eating eggs in the morning and then maybe having chips at lunch and stuff, all of a sudden I feel the difference. Like, oh, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry now. Like, oh, I feel like my blood sugar's low. You know, it's a different cycle. Yeah. It's a different feeling. Mm-hmm. So I know there's something to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. So the carbohydrates or the glucose is the main source of energy, like instant energy. And then if you don't have that, then you're supposed to use the fat cells to produce the energy. So you burn them. But we don't get to that point, like you said, because we keep, again...
It's not an emergency.
Yeah.
It's like storing a bunch of zombie apocalypse food in our basement, but we never eat it.
True.
Because we just got one. The zombie never comes, and there's more food to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
I said that last night. I told my wife, I go, we should have like a kit, you know, in case there's an apocalypse. Like, you know, at least some batteries in it. I'm afraid to have a huge basement with all this stuff and then something actually go bad and then all the neighbors come over and take my shit. Because I'm not a gun wielding, you know, I'd have tough defending my property if they all came looking for my soups and stewed tomatoes.
That's funny. Maybe they would not want your vegetables, you know.
Just stewed tomatoes here, fellas. Keep on moving.
You know, like, I will skip this house.
Well, it is. I think that it'll always be a battle, but I do think that we're having, I know in my family and myself personally, I struggle with sugar. It's tough. Yeah. And I don't know what to do about it. And honestly, I don't even know if I should do anything about it. I mean, that goes back to, you know, redefining happiness. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just need a couple of Rice Krispie treats. I'm fine, you know. I mean,
once in a while, fine. But if you are going to be dictated by it, then that's when we have to cut the cord.
Have you seen that My 600-Pound Life?
No.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, I think I've seen that a couple of times. And when they go into an intensive program and...
Well, there's a doctor on there, and he's in India. I think he's from India.
Okay.
And he's like... You've gained 200 pounds. You're supposed to be losing weight so we can do some emergency surgery. And you gained 200. And he goes, well, I got some money. Oh, he goes, well, how much money did you get? He goes, $10,000. He goes, well, how much is left? He goes, 1,000.
He goes,
you ate $9,000 worth of food? He goes, well, I bought a couple things, but yes.
Wow.
And
really? That's interesting.
Yeah. And you know what he was doing? He was buying all this stuff through Amazon.
Yeah. It's so easy to get hold of things.
And all that stuff was just being delivered right to him.
And he was probably never left the doorstep.
What do you think? I mean, do you think that's, I mean, do you, if you like, if I look at like my life, you know, since, you know, as a kid to now, you know, and I do notice that, you know, what used to be really painful, like, you know, buying stuff, you used to have to hand over the money. You'd be like, oh, here. But now, you know, we're, everything is done on a card now. And I know that I'm not the only person that's had this conversation, but like, if you go, like even to lefties, they, you know, they make you charge a card and then your kids can swipe it.
Yeah.
You know, are we losing that pain of, you know, purchasing, you know, like, you know, here's my $9,000 and here's your $9,000 worth of food.
Yeah.
Instead, they just a couple taps
and
then there's a box there.
Yeah, well, I did this study on myself. I was like, let me see how much I spend on when I'm using my credit card versus how much I actually spend using cash. So I started using cash a lot, and I figured out it is painful. Like, when I'm buying groceries, I'm like, what, 57 for what, you know? But when I buy it with the card, I don't even think.
Don't even think about it.
I was like, okay, this, you know, I sign it. Not even looking.
Well, my credit card that I use a lot, for some reason, I don't know why, but I didn't pay the bill. And I went to...
You don't know why.
I don't know why. I mean, I always pay the bill. I don't know what the deal is, and I didn't. And there's some credit card confusion, honestly, with my credit card, but I didn't pay it. And I went to buy some flowers, I think, on Friday over at Ace, and they declined it.
Mm.
And I was like, what? I was like, oh, that's fine. I used a different one. And then I called them and they go, we never received your payment.
Oh.
So I sent it out, and but you know, it was going to be. I did an online banking, so it was going to be probably 4 days before it went out, and then it would probably be a few. I don't know. It was going to be a while before they reactivated the card, and I was like, you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm just not gonna. I have cash. I have, you know, I put some cash away.
That's true. It's a lot of stress too, and with the, it's just getting easier. The more we get into the comfort zone, and we just forget to work hard for anything at all. You know, nowadays they have that in your phone too, that you can have that wallet pay or something.
Yes.
You sign up your car and you don't even feel it because it's a phone. You just scan and then boom.
Or you can just wave your watch over it.
Yeah, and it's money's gone.
It says in the, you know, and I'm not a big Bible person, and I don't even know. I had a client tell me this, but she says it in the Bible that, you know, the end of the world, or, you know, when we come to the finish, is, you know, we won't know what money is. It'll all be paid with plastic. And
oh, was it? Did it say that? Well,
so
that's,
I think it's in Revelations.
Yeah. It's, I can see that it can happen.
Well, because I feel like it's just a society of we just want.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get it.
Yeah. Back in the day when I was making rounds with my grandfather, who was, I told you, was the village doctor, and I made house runs, you know, like house calls with him. And we remember walking back home with like chicken or, you know, like vegetables, because it was just like a barter thing. You know, he would offer medical services and he would get whatever they had in the farm.
Yeah, and I bet you the people really hated giving up that chicken. I mean, it's true. Yeah, you know, there was pain. Yeah, it's like, hey, if the doctor comes, they're taking away dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Do you want him to come? I'm like, maybe I'll wait till tomorrow and see how I feel.
True. But I think fortunately it was just a voluntary thing. Unfortunately, I think my grandfather's case, at least he never made any demands or day.
Do you think there would ever be a time where we would be held more responsible or more accountable for our health?
I hope. And this is the big struggle, you know, this accountability. Like, the doctors are held accountable for so many things. Yet on the other side, the patient doesn't seem to have even half as much.
But how do you do that without becoming like socialistic or socialism or?
Well, the thing is, main thing is education. But then we have this culture of people just, they think that because you're the doctor, you're supposed to make me feel better, and regardless of what I do or do not do. And I had a lot of one patient I remember in particular, like his sugar was not getting controlled at all. And I was like, we're doing too much of medicines. But come to find out, his wife said, and which she was, again, for HIPAA, was not supposed to say, so I couldn't tell the patient that she had said. She said, well, he doesn't take them, and he's having all the sugar food and everything. And I said, do you know that I'm getting rated for your failure? That's a bad doctor, because they regulate. Like, let's say I have 100 people with diabetes, and I'm not able to achieve a certain target, like 80-90%, whatever that number is. It's all governed by CMS and other governing agencies. And they're like, oh, you are not doing as well as your peer. But that's the problem. Like, I can't fix that. I can't go to the house, make you take your medicine.
You got to want it. You got to want it.
Yeah. And then I was like, how am I held responsible? And my ratings come down because of your non-compliance. I can't fix non-compliance.
Well, my mom was going through some stuff with she had some issues, and she, you know, she hurt her foot and then she cut her leg. And, you know, my mom's a little older, so, you know, she was like, the doctor says, just put my foot up. And she put her foot up and basically sat there for, you know, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, lost all of her strength, you know, and if she was having trouble pulling her foot like off a gas pedal onto the brake, you know, to brake.
Oh, wow.
And so she had to stop driving, and she was, you know, she was working on it, blah, blah. And I go, listen, you're going to have to fight for this. You know, this isn't there's no quick fix. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to have physical the desire. Therapy. You're going to go to physical therapy. Mm-hmm. You're going to work on your muscles.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want this, you're going to have to fight for it. There isn't a quick fix. You're going to have to do the work. And she did. And now she drives a little bit. She just drives to her bridge thing. She doesn't go out on the highway. But, you know, she got some of her freedom back, but she worked for it.
Yeah. And everybody has to do their share, you know. As a doctor, you can only with your knowledge, you can only say this is a recommendation. So I always say it's a recommendation. You got to have to follow it. I mean, you're not going to see results. That's what they don't understand is the partnership.
So if I want to make you my doctor, Dr. Pinky, that'd be fun. Who's your doctor, Dr. Pinky? how do I? I mean, besides I see you, but do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page?
I have a Facebook page. You can look me up with my full legal name. That's Pinky Borasikia. Then I
Pinky Borasikia.
Correct.
Let's say that slowly because I think it's important we can say that.
So, Pinky, like the little finger, and then Bora, like the island Bora Bora.
Okay.
And only you have to remember is Saikia. So it's like the car Kia. And then whenever you see a car Kia, you just sigh, like Saikia.
I was thinking that when I was 14, I was in the Saikia ward.
I know. Every time I dictate, I said, this is Dr. Bora Saikia dictating for so-and-so patient. It comes up as, this is a Dr. Board Psych.
Oh.
I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not what I, you know, you should pick up this much. And all of this dictation agency are outsourced to India and they should pick up my accent, you know. It's funny how they don't.
Well, that's true. So but you can find, you have a Facebook page?
I have a Facebook page. You can find me there. I have a phone number that you
can. Do you have a Facebook page or do you have a business Facebook page?
I have the business Facebook page, which is separate from my personal one.
Because if we're trying to find you and are interested in your services, we should go to your business Facebook page.
Correct. And that has my full name with MD, and it comes up as Concierge Medicine too. And then I'm working on my website, and my website is called aboutmyhealthrisk.com.
aboutmyhealthrisks.com
with an S. Yeah, we're still working. It's in a preliminary stage where people, if they have any questions, it's kind of a free website, so people are free to send me questions, and I'll have blogs and everything set up for that.
Well, and we're going to have you back on.
It's still in the works, so.
We'll have you back on the podcast because I like talking to you.
Yeah, me
I like
too.
Seeing you get all stressed out and then just...
And then you have this way of making everyone comfortable.
Well, and you know, but I like I said in the beginning, you know, I have to be careful because I don't know a lot about being a doctor. I don't know a lot about medicine. I know I have my opinion on a lot of stuff, and I find that I'll put my opinion out a lot of the times, and it's not always correct. So I have to be careful how deep I get into it. You know.
Yeah, but I think podcasts are so much fun. That's why it's just the easy flowing chatting. You know, you don't have to be held accountable for it. Just our, even for me, I mean, I may say things that I'm not 100% sure, you know. But
we got 1,000 listeners. People are going to put our fire to our feet, put our feet to the fire.
No, I do really have to do research before I'm on back on board. But no, I like this podcast and it's so exciting and I always look forward.
Well, you, like I always tell you, you're always welcome to come here. I love having you on. I love all you girls upstairs. I think you're all fantastic. Not only are you helping people, but, you know, you're running a small business and, you know, I feel like we're like a little family over here. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. I'll leave here and then run into the other girls over at the school picking up our kids, and then we all go to the park and for the after school, you know, school ended. They had a big party, or not a big party, they had a little party at the park, and I was hanging out with Erin, and you know, and then my kids were playing with her kids. It's just, you know, it's community, it's small business, it's health, you know, it's all positive. I like all that stuff, especially at my age with kids. You know, those are really the forefront of what's important to me.
The energy of this place, I would say, is really very, very positive and very strong.
Well, we're facing the right direction.
Yeah. And well, you mean as in Vastu, like facing northeast? Or
we are facing northeast, yep. And the sun comes over, gives us a little kiss, and then goes over the roof and heats
like
the backside.
The way you say it, you should be a poet.
Hey. I have a friend who's a poet. He is fantastic. I'll have to introduce you to him. He's great.
Oh, yeah. I love poetry. I actually used to be really good in writing, and then I lost those. I have to get back to it, too. But I enjoyed poetry.
My buddy James, he's down in Florida doing a he's an actor. He's in theater. So he's finishing up an act, stint at a theater doing a show, and I can't even remember the name. But we used to do a vlog. I used to do a vlog, and he would join. We used to run on Wednesdays, and he would do poetry on the... I'd film him, and he'd do poetry.
Oh, nice.
And I used to love it because I was more just amazed that he could remember it all. But I would post a vlog, and then his, you know, a friend would be like, that was supposed to be I, not high. Or, you know, like they'd really analyze the poetry, and where I'm just like, hey, great job. You know, and then, you know, the other poets would be like, no, James, you know you missed that. He's like, darn it.
Because they're very serious about that stuff. I actually won second prize, I think, in medical school for poetry. And I always framed that. And they're like, why aren't you, you know, framing your medical licenses are not here and your poetry's, you know, back in medical school is on the wall. I said, well, that is something I did. Totally, you know, of my, it was my own thing, you know, it was just nothing that I learned, it just came.
Do you still work with poetry now? Do you write it?
I did publish one, I think, in some poetry.
Can we do a poetry podcast? Could I get my buddy James here?
No, I feel really embarrassed because it's like I have this little book that I keep it hidden and no one, anybody to read it because, you know, it was like when I was in school, so I wrote all these things. Like, oh, and I want to read it. It kind of is very silly. And
oh, stop. That's funny. The problem with America right now. You can't be like, hey, man, good job. Look at that. You're like, oh,
yeah,
so
I'll bring
silly.
It to you.
Somebody burn this.
Yeah, but it's my own little achievement outside of medicine because I think outside of medicine, I really don't have much devoted a lot of
time. Do you guys go to the beach?
I love the beach. Something about the water, and I'm Cancerian. So
have you been did you go this weekend?
Not this weekend. We went, I think, 2 weekends back. We were out at the boat, crabbing. It was fun.
We went Saturday. It was amazing. I love the beach. We went at 11, left at 1, just for a couple hours.
Yeah,
the whole
that's
thing.
All you need sometimes, just to relax. I like the way the waves come and go, and just watching them just rewires my brain to a calmer state.
Sometimes I get in, and, you know, when if it's not huge waves, you know, mid-sized small waves, mm-hmm. and I just sit there, and then as the wave just passes through my body,
I know, isn't
it just
that the
washes
best
away, cleans my spirit.
Yeah, it does, and I don't know, I have the same feeling. There's some connection with the water.
Well, we have it great here. We went to Mexico. I mean, you know, I was down in the Caribbean. It was clear, great, but there was no energy. It was just flat water.
Oh, okay.
Little waves, and the tide was like 4 inches at the most.
Okay.
And I watched the golf tournament this weekend, Pebble Beach, and that ocean was...
I went to Pebble
was,
Beach. I like that place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's beautiful. But the ocean just seemed flat and not really full of, like, kelp and...
Yeah, because they have the cliffs there, and, you know, it's not like it's... I don't know. I find the East Coast beaches much better than
well,
the West
then,
Coast.
Yeah, and our beaches are just... The waves are great. Mm-hmm. It could be a little clearer. It'd be nice if they're, like, crystal clear, green, beautiful blue waves, but...
Yeah. Which one is your favorite?
My beach?
Yeah.
We go to Tower Beach.
Tower Beach, okay.
Do you know where that is?
No, I don't know that.
So if you're coming out of Dewey, headed towards, you know, the bridge, I think it's like the third left.
Okay.
And
it's, I'll check it out.
You'll see the tower. And we go there because they have bathrooms and they have snack bar.
Yeah, that's a good incentive.
And they have lifeguards and we have little kids.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So my favorite beach out of all the beaches is Southside.
Outside.
On the other side of the inlet. I love that beach where the cantina is. The water just is a little clearer. I love that beach. But the problem is that it's popular.
It is? Okay. I don't like to go to places where it's too much rush and you lose the purpose of.
Well, that happens at Tower. It wasn't bad. It didn't happen yesterday or Saturday, but I know Memorial Day, it was when we left, it was one in, one out. So that's crowded.
Yeah.
But you know that it always gets that way in the beginning, and then about midsummer it starts wearing off, and people aren't as crazy about the beach. But
I like different phases too. I like to watch people too. You know, like it's all coming. Everybody's having a great time. It's good vibes.
I had a guy. We had just sat down, or we were sitting down, and this, you know, there was probably like a little ridge before the sand went down to the water, and sure enough, here comes this couple. Cruising through everybody and starts putting their stuff up in this like 4 feet of sand before this. And I go, man, if you're going to, I mean, go one way or the other. Cause we have this, cause we're watching the kids play in the water, you know?
Yeah.
I go, you have this whole beach. You know, I turned around and did the, you know, Jesus arms, the whole beach. He goes, oh, now you're going to be a wise guy. And I go, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be wise.
Yeah.
But we are here. We've been here.
Yeah.
And you just come and get right in front of us here, and
Yeah.
So if you could just move. And he, he was a little aggressive, but I apologized. I shook his hand.
Yeah.
I might have been a little... Anytime I get an opportunity to be a wise guy, sometimes I take it.
But, you know, it's sad in a way. Like, I've been here for so many years, almost 8 or 9 years, and I kind of feel like a local now here. Mm-hmm. And I do see that when people from, they're just visiting or are tourists, I mean, there's a difference in how the locals treat each other. Mm-hmm. You can tell that they're not from here, and it's a shame. They bring with them their, you know, culture of living, and mostly people from the north. No offense, but they're good people too. But I've seen this as an observation.
Well, and anytime you come and visit, anytime we go visit, you know, mm-hmm. we were in Mexico, and we've gone and visited, and we've been those people. You know,
yeah.
You don't mean to be in that. And that's, you know, I think when that guy said, oh, now you want to be wise, I could have been like, yes, you know, and I could have been an ass.
I am here. Yeah. I live here. I'm born local.
But I was like, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be that way. It's frustrating.
And it resolves better.
Yeah. And I'd, you know, in the past, if I'd made a mess of that, it doesn't, you know, as I get older, I it doesn't set well. Mm-hmm. I always tell my kids and my wife, you know, keep your side of the street clean.
Yeah.
And after that encounter and that conversation and that small relationship building opportunity, I felt okay. I was like, you know what? I wasn't too much of an asshole. And the guy was cool. And we shook hands. And because I would have been like, you know, 2 hours later, I need to make an amends. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So, all right.
Well, that's good. That's good. We all need to have good relationship.
I've taken enough of your day.
Oh, no. It was a pleasure, as always.
I appreciate you coming on. If we can, maybe we can figure out a topic next time or with this.
Yeah, we should. Give me like 6 months. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and I think people like to just listen. You know, I hear of other podcasts where people talk about nothing. You know, I think people just like to listen to people chat about, you know, simple things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get too hard into too many subjects.
Sure.
I don't want to start having agendas, and then I'm going to have to hire people to come talk to these smart people that to give the people what they want. But
well, and also we do get a few parts here and there, you know, from listening.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Pink, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Tom, for having me again.
Have a great Monday.
You too.
All right, dear.
Bye.
Bye-bye.